have one become a member, and what class of person should be admitted as members to the fellowship of the Christian churches. Now, I know that on the surface, many people think, you know, that anybody that wants to be a member, that we are to accept them and baptize them or whatever. But that's how established churches, and I brought out last week, this is what churches our size is got to be very careful. That's what happened to another church there in Lexington. They only had 24 members at the time, and over a month's period of time, they had 30-some people come into their church. And they accepted them. People said, boy, we're having a revival. And until about a month or so after they all became members, they wanted to change things, and they challenged the pastor, and they challenged the church and to quit doing the things that the Bible taught. And they asked the pastor to resign. And this pastor made a stand that nobody had seen in Central Kentucky before. He refused to resign. And he told the people, said, you know, every one of y'all, we withdraw your membership. I never heard that before either. But I also, when a couple in Lexington, member of Independent Baptist Church, he was a ordained deacon, and the wife was charged and convicted of stealing money. And that church withdrew his ordination. And his wife was the one that did it. Never heard of that. So I went back. When I hear things like that, then that's when I get my Baptist history books out and I go back to the beginning. I was ordained by Grace Baptist Church in Georgetown. And if my lifestyle changed to the point that I was no longer qualified down the road, years Grace Baptist could withdraw my ordination. And that, you know, never was taught that, never heard it, but Baptist history says that the authority is in the church. And I was ordained. And that's why that, give an example, when Anthony was ordained in Batesville, it was Amron Row Baptist Church that gave the authority, not the church he was on a pastor, because that's where he was called from, and we acknowledge that. So there's a lot of things about church membership and church history and church business that nobody knows anything about it because people refuse to teach it. And then we who teach it, other ministers will say, you know, you're crossing over in authority you don't have. So we need to talk about membership. The condition of membership is a regenerated heart, a confession of faith, a reception of baptism, and a Christian life. Now, our newest member is made profession, say they want to become a member of this church, and that's John back there. We're waiting to baptize him. But before we baptize him, it is my responsibility to question this one to see, has he got a regenerated heart, since I don't know him. when brought up with him. Wajana's confession of faith. Does he have scriptural baptism? And we found out that he didn't. And then how is the Christian life? And a lot of people, you know, say, well, that's none of the church's business. Well, if the opening came down at the bank and they want them for cashier, I'm sure they would do a background check very thorough before they would let me deal with somebody else's money. But you say, why question? Because the bank has the responsibility and the duty, because the money in that bank is not theirs. It belongs to all of us, whoever is part of that bank. We need to make sure that the subject for church membership is saved people. There is an importance that must be placed upon the necessity for a regenerated membership. The Old Testament Amos 3:3, which we are all familiar with, how can two walk together unless they agree? My wife and I would have a hard time if we didn't agree on something. You know, we differ on some things, but it's not the big things. It's not the major things. It's not the things that would keep us from having a good family, or her being a good wife, or me being a good husband. But we need to know. The congregation needs to know, you know, and don't expect you to know and study all the history that I study or any other pastor studies. But every once in a while, these things need to be brought up. It should be noted that historic Baptists believe that salvation is a one-time experience. You know, and I've talked to people and I ask them, are you saved? And they'll say, I've been saved several times, which means they ain't never been saved. I mean, it's just that simple. God only saved you once. Now, I may have made a profession of faith once. I may have been baptized half a dozen times, but you're only saved once. But since people are not taught that eternal security, the blood-bought believer, see, when you're a blood-bought believer, there is a change in your lifestyle. No change, no salvation. That's not judging. It's just, you know, if you buy a milk cow and it don't produce milk, then, you know, it's still a cow, but it's not a milk cow. And they're still a human being, but if they've never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they've never repented, if they believe that anything that they do was why they're saved, then they've been misled. They haven't been taught properly. You know, God makes it very clear, but we can't just go on John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what most people say. I know I'm saved because that's John 3:16, which is one of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted verses in the Word of God. And the key word there is world. There is a physical world that we see, and there's a spiritual world, and, you know, so you got to get into these and say, you know, for God so loved me. Never became important until I could exchange the word world and tell everybody, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son. And why that's important? If I was the only person, if you were the only person in the world that was saved, Christ still had to go to the cross, because there's nothing we could do to save ourselves. You know, it's what we have is a wash. You know, you don't paint. You know, when we were home and Judy, you know, every once in a while we take the fence poles and put whitewash on them. Man, this is pretty and bright until the rain came. Until the rain came, and that whitewash washed off. And two or three rains, it was back to where it was before you put the whitewash on. Well, if you make a profession of faith without being saved, trouble come, trouble come, and more trouble the less Christianity there is to show. But you got to be taught that sometimes we have got to have problems so that we are know that I'm saved. Did I withstand this? You know, if every time you get sick, every time you have a problem, you say, well, Christ ain't the Christ I thought he was. He'll send problems in your life to see if what you're made of. He knows what you're made of. We don't. You know, people will say, I wouldn't do that. But they've never had to face it. And, you know, and I've got to be careful because people get upset. But you never know what you would do until you face with a problem. We like to think what we would do. But we don't know. You know. Then we are subject for church membership is baptism. You know, you got to be baptized. This is shown the public identification with Christ and his church. See, don't ask anybody to believe all the things I believe, but, you know, if John asked Caitlin to marry, she doesn't have the right, he doesn't have the right to look at any other man or any other woman. Because that marriage in the sight of God, I believe, is when those two agree. And it goes a lot deeper, and I'd be glad on one-on-one to go into it. But the wedding vow, if you're not committed before you say I do, you won't be committed after you said I do. See what I'm saying? If you're not saved before you're going to the waters of baptism, you won't be saved when I bring you up. Amen. Because there's no salvation in water. Serving. There is a divinely appointed place in the church for the redeemed. Baptists do not believe in the clerisy laity concept or the ideal that work, the ministry of the church, is only carried out by an elite few. If you got a ability and that job comes up, you ought to say, I will do it. And if you want to serve more, then you get yourself qualified so you can do more. You said, well, you know, I didn't know how to put typewriters together when I went to work at IBM. But to keep my job, they taught me how to put typewriters together. And if I wanted to advance, then I've got to learn more about the typewriter. And then when the computers came along, we start out. But it's a learning process. But I believe that the average church member, and I hope you are not an average church member, but I believe that the average church member, that when they come down the aisle and we take them into the waters of baptism, that's all. I mean, you know, I'm set, glory bound. I have a message. I believe that people are not being saved because we're not praying for the lost. People not being saved because we're not witnessing to the lost. But praying, if you're of a sound mind, you can pray. And why wouldn't we want to pray? Why wouldn't I want to pray for my family if I know they're lost? If we would spend as much time praying as we do talking about them, we'd probably see God do something. I don't know. But I do know that those that are in my family, that profess to be lost, I've got a duty to pray for them. And those that profess to be saved but never come to church, I pray, God, you make your salvation real in their life. Because I'm a firm believer and can back it up any day of the week. You can't love God without loving the church. Can't do it. Cannot do it. It's impossible. Because why? The church is where God placed you, and it's in the church that we learn what God wants us to do. And that don't happen overnight. That you grow into it. But let's look, because I've gone over these things in other times. But let's look at 1 Corinthians. When you see what God says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we won't read the whole chapter, which would be good to, but it certainly tells us that we need to, be everything that we can be for the glory of God. But here in 1 Corinthians, and chapter 12. God said in verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," so that we know, and I'm sure y'all already know, what we're going to read here in the next few verses is not for lost people. Lost people can read it. But God said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." So, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost is the Spirit. And when Henrietta was saved, the Spirit entered in her, as it did me, as it did anybody in this auditorium that is saved. It is the Spirit of God. And what a teaching if you understand that. That Tuesday morning, when God saved me on the way to work, I left without the Spirit in me, and 6 miles up 25, the Spirit entered me, and I was saved. Now, what is so important about that? Is the Spirit going to teach me one thing and Tom something else? Or is there just one word? Now, so if I believe one thing and the church believes something else, one of us or both of us are wrong. But both of us can't be right. Let that sink in a minute. So if I believe that the Baptist Church is the church that Jesus built. And the Pope, bless his heart, believes that the Catholic Church is. And the word Catholic means universal. That's why if we want to be correct, we got to bring in all the Protestants. Because the Protestants came out of the universal theory. Not saying all Protestant lost or all Catholic lost, but if they were saved, they saved the same way I was. Because there's only one way to be saved, and that is by hearing the Word, believing the Word, God granting you repentance and faith, and you acknowledge that. So, in serving, God said in verse 4, now there are a diversity of gifts. In other words, Tom may be able to do something that I can't, and Mike may be able to do something I can't, and Tracy may be able to do something that I can't. But the Word said there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And the same Spirit in them that I mentioned, and me, if we're all saved, is the same Spirit. And the Spirit will not confuse people. It is confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. He says that many, many times. So God is not going to teach me one thing and somebody else one thing if we're following the Spirit. See, that is so simple to me, and I have a hard time understanding, if you believe that God saved you by hearing the Word of God, and it was the Spirit of God that convicted you, it is the Spirit of God that is teaching you, how can we be so different in our beliefs? One answer. Growth. Babes in Christ do not believe what spiritual Christians believe. But as they grow, they will. How many times did I tell Brother Bill, man, when you used to preach that, I thought, you ain't right, man. Something wrong. But in every situation that man taught me, I had to come back and say, you were right. But him being the pastor he was, he didn't say, you're ignorant, you're lost. If you knew Brother Bill, he was so small, put his arm around you. Because he knows that the same Spirit that taught him, if I was truly saved, it will teach me. But we grow different, I was telling somebody, I seen my granddaughter yesterday, and I'm just amazed. She'll be 2 years old next Saturday. And what she can already do, where she can count, her brother, half-brother was there, and he left his, computer thing on it, and he went to the bathroom, and she reached over and turned it on and was flipping it. What? But see, they're around that all the time. I'm not sure that a 2-year-old even ought to have an iPad, personally. But that's none of my business. My concern, but not my business, I think kids at 2 years, 3 years old ought to be playing cowboys and Indians and playing dolls and running around the yard, But my point is that we all grow different. And we not only grow different physically, but we grow different spiritually. Now, why does the 2- and 3-year-olds now can do things we couldn't do? They're exposed to it. And why some Christians don't understand the Bible? They're not exposed to it. After a few weeks, I knew how to turn my iPhone on, search a few things. It's exposure. And God says here, in verse 4 as we read, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are difference of ministrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And what we're talking about, if you go back to the beginning, they're talking about service. God saved me to serve. And when we serve, that's how we grow. That's how we learn to do things that we never did do before, and becomes, when we become part of it and not just a spectator, then that's when things are more important to us. And that's what church membership is to give us an opportunity to be exposed to different aspects of what God wants us to do. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. God said, "For I say, through the grace given unto me," I'll wait for you to get there. I want you to see that. Now, you notice in the verse 1, it said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he presents your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Anything that God asks us to do is not unreasonable. And to do that, verse 2 said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." What do I say more than anything else? Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. You don't do anything without thinking about it. I'm depressed. I'm thinking depressing thoughts. What did God say? Think on these things. We are what we think. You can't help. I remember, and I always use, I remember the first Bible school we had in this building. And one of the crafts was we built a bird nest. And we don't let that bird build a bird nest on top of our head. We can't help if the bird lands there. But we can help if it stays there. So we need to think. And God has given us the ability to think, because he said, "I beseech you therefore," who? Brethren. It's not talking to lost people. It's talking to brethren. We get so, well, all you got to do is read the Bible, and a lost man can't understand the Bible. He'd learn some facts, and many lost people know more about the Bible than lost church members. But it's only facts, and we're impressed. I've made this statement right here about this church, and I wish I hadn't had to make it, but there's a time when we had a lot of visitors from other churches, and those kids that were in Sunday school of some of the Christian churches and Presbyterian churches and the Protestant churches knew more Bible than our kids did. Because, well, I can't give out the Bible verses, and I can't tell them to learn 5 or 6 verses because they'll turn them against church. What? Did you read Dr. Spot Pot or whatever that tract's name was? Man, you've got to expose your kids to the Word of God. Then the Lord said, He just tells us in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Now, you may please somebody else in the flesh, but you don't please God. When I get to the point where I think I don't need to study and pray, I need to resign. I need to step down and give that to somebody else that will follow the Spirit of God. God said, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, not all of us, and I know this is hard for people to believe, God gives to each the measure of faith. But yesterday was just a day, I worked, I was telling Les, it takes me usually, I don't know, 5 minutes to print my bulletins out, and it took me at least a half hour last night, and I fold and put them on side desk, and they're still on side desk. Now, I say all that to say this. God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So he tells us what? For I say, verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. All of us in this building is alive. We're all here this morning. I think we're all are capable of counting so far. But I'm sure that you take math. We go do our twos and threes, you know, 3 times 3, 3 times 4. But how far can we go when we get up 11? 11 times 1, 11 times 2, and you get up at 11 times 10, 11 times 12. How far should we go? Now, does that mean that if I can go as far as Mike, that Mike is better than me? No, it's that God has given him that measure of faith. In other words, there's always somebody that can do my job better than I do it because God has given them that measure of faith. And if we're not careful, we'll say, you know, and that's the way the school system, I am totally, 189%, if it's possible, I think the public school system is a joke. Don't mind it being on YouTube, don't mind it being on the school, because I tell them every time I have an opportunity. You know, there are some kids that don't learn at the same rate as others. And those kids that has not been given that ability, we can them and we mark them and we do the same way in the Christian faith. But God has not given everybody that same measure of faith. For whatever reasons. Maybe there's a sickness. Maybe there's a learning disability. But that doesn't excuse anybody from being ornery and lazy. Because we have learned that some children with disabilities know a lot more than some that don't have disabilities. It's because somebody has worked with them. That's what we do in church. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Bible study. That's why that, you know, that we will do anything to try to bring everybody up. But they got to have that desire. And that's what church is. Church is to bring out our ability. But you gotta want that, you know. You can't make it, you know. You volunteer. Now, we ain't got about 5 minutes, but I'm the proper subjects for communion or the Lord's Supper. I think all of you know my stand and the church's stand is we believe in close communion. Now, what if some visitors from Bryan Station was here this afternoon and we was going to take the Lord's Supper? I mean, we know Bryan Station, the sound church. You know, I know the pastor. I know the people. My niece goes there. You know, it's sound church. But they're not part of this body. And we don't know what's in their life. That's why that we take the Lord's Supper only when we know that there is no known sin in anybody's life. If there's known sin, we work to get that out before we take the Lord's Supper. So the Baptist view is we hold that there are 3 critical conditions to the privilege of the Lord's Supper. And I underline the word privilege. They are regeneration. That is, the person's got to be saved. They got to have scriptural baptism, and they got to have godliness. That is an upright Christian life, orderly walk, godly conversation as a church member. So though one may have been truly converted and rightly baptized, if he is to be a disorderly walker. See, I'm not like a lot of preachers. I believe the saved people can do anything the lost people can do. They just can't live in it. They can't live in it. I mean, you study the Word and you see all of these leaders. Some of them were drunks. Some of them were idolaters. Some of them were, you know, this and that. But they didn't stay in it. They repented of it and came out of it. But if we know somebody, as we want to take the Lord's Supper in the next couple of weeks. So I'm working on some things. And, you know, you got a member or two members or three members, four members, how many of you may have that hasn't been in church for a year and a half or 2 years. How do we know what these people are doing? We know they haven't been in church. They haven't contacted the pastor for guidance. They haven't contacted anybody. So that's why there's got to be something wrong. Well, ain't nothing wrong. I just don't go to church. Well, if you're not going to go to church, then you don't need to be a member. Then I'm going to contradict myself in the mind of some of you. Every disciplined member is still a member of this church.
Right. Amen.
They're just inactive. While I was up to my daughter's house, Parker was there, and Jay said, "Parker, go to your room." But Parker was still her daughter, I mean her son. But he wasn't allowed to participate because he had broken the rule. When he comes out of the room and says, "Mama, I'm sorry," then he can join. That's how it's done. That's how it's done in the church. But there's so much pride. I'm not going to admit that I'm wrong. If you're not willing to admit that you're wrong, that means you've never repented. I didn't have that problem of admitting because until God saved me, about everything in my life was wrong. Baptism is a symbol of what Jesus Christ has done, death, burial, and resurrection. The Lord's Supper is a symbol of the price that was paid for your redemption, the blood and the body. That's why we have unleavened bread. I go to the bookstore, buy a little box of these little unleavened, and I used to use them. You know why? Because my church used to use them. But then when I got studying for myself, I don't know what's in that little thing. So when I get the recipe for unleavened bread, we make unleavened bread. Then we use wine when we first came here. Then I just studying it. Can't use wine. But I'm not against wine. I believe wine can be used as a medical purpose. Some of you disagree. That's fine. It is not the element, it's how we use it. But I know what I was before God saved me. And me personally, says me personally, don't want no alcohol at all in my house. That's me. But the alcohol is not bad. It's how we use it. Because of many a bite, snake bite and other kind of bites, have saved people's lives by alcohol. But that was years and years ago, right?